We were doing in Yanei Bishul B'Shabbos this semester. We left it a few weeks ago, before Purim almost. Right? We left it a long time ago, before the midterm and before Purim. These are very important in Yonim, so I felt I'd like to continue a little bit of the discussion of Bishul B'Shabbos. Maybe next week we'll talk about Inyani Pesach, some practical Inyanim related to Pesach, and then we'll conclude our discussion of Bishul in the couple of weeks that we have after Pesach. I think these Inyanim are so, so important to have a handle on, to have an understanding. Last time we started discussing the concept of Shehiyah, which is one of the Gzeiros D'Rabbanan related to Bishul. And that is that a person is not allowed to put food on an open flame on Shabbos because we're afraid, Shema Yechate B'Gecholim, lest the person will stoke the coals. Or he'll raise the temperature. We don't have coals, Bizman Hazeh. We have a knob that raises the fire. So maybe a person will raise the fire in order to enable the food to cook more quickly. So the Isser is not an Isser Bishul. We paskin that Shvisas Kalim is not Daraisa. We paskin like Beis Hillel, that as long as your kli is doing malacha for you and you're not doing any malacha, there's no Isser. So there's no problem of the kli doing malacha for you. The kli is being mevashel, you're not being mevashel. The concern is that maybe you'll be mechatah b'gachola, maybe you'll do havara, maybe you'll raise the fire, and that's going to be havara. So we said there's a machlokas chananya and a chachamim, under what circumstances are we allowed to put food on the fire without any kind of separation? Is it that the food has to be cooked kamachal ben yusai? Once it's a third or a half cooked, so then we're not afraid that you'll be mechatah b'gachola? Well, no, it has to be fully cooked. And it has to be so fully cooked that it's mitstamik viralo, that if you continue to keep it over the fire, it's going to actually ruin the food. It's a shayla. What do we do to ensure that there's no problem? In most circumstances, when we put food on the fire, it's mitstamik viofalo, it's getting shriveled up, but it's getting better. The cholent gets better. It gets richer the more it stays on the fire. So what do we do in order to solve the Shehiyah problem? So we have a blech. We cover over the fire in some way to reduce the heat of the fire, or to serve as a heket, to serve as a reminder not to turn up the fire. And we also mentioned that in certain circumstances, if you have a non-adjustable hot plate, if there's no possibility that you'll be machata, then that's going to be permissible as well, because the whole chashash doesn't apply. If the zera doesn't apply, so then the isser is not going to apply as well. There's an interesting case that the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Yud Ches mentions where the whole problem of Shehiyah might not apply the flour. And that's called Kedera Chaisa. Let's say you have raw meat, raw food that you put on the fire immediately before Shabbos. So the Gemara says Kedera Chaisa is not subject to the rules of Shehiyah. You can put it directly on the fire, even without Gora Fakatam, as we called it, even without shoveling out the coals or covering over the coals. There's no problem. Why is there no problem? Aren't we afraid that maybe he'll be mechata b'gachol, maybe he'll stoke the coals, maybe he'll raise the fire? The answer is that kedera chais is a very unique situation. This is a food that is not going to be ready for the sudas laila, even if you are mechata b'gachol, because it's raw, it takes a few hours to cook. And for the sudas hayom, the next day, it will be ready, even if you don't stoke the coals. So comes the Gemara and says, in such a circumstance, there's no gzeira d'rabban. Chazal are not afraid that you're going to do anything, because what are you going to do? Why should you do anything? There's no purpose in stoking the coals to make it cook tonight, because even with stoking of the coals, even with raising of the fire, it's not going to cook tonight. It's not going to be finished tonight. And there's no need to raise the fire in order to make it cook for tomorrow, because it'll cook for tomorrow even if you don't raise the fire. So in such a circumstance, the Gemara says there's no chashash of Shem Yechad V'Gacholim, so it's mutter to put that directly on an open flame. The Poskim say that Bizman Hazeh, the heter of Kedera Chaisa, perhaps doesn't apply. This is quoted by Rav Shimon Eider in his Sefer Hilcha Shabbos. He was one of the original Sforim in the genre of having Sifim on the top and footnotes on the bottom. It's actually Sifim in English on the top and footnotes in Hebrew on the bottom. Very, very beautiful Sefer. So he quotes that Rav Henkin, one of the poskim in America many years ago, 60 years ago, he wanted to suggest that maybe the whole heter of Kedera Chaisa does not apply to our cooking. Why? He says, first of all, we have a minute to light Neir Shabbos 18 minutes before Shkia. So you can't really call anything Kedera Chaisa, he says. Kedera Chaisa means that the item has not started to cook, but once it reaches the shear of Yatzo, let us go, Once the pot reaches the shear of Yatzalet, but that's already a Haskalas Habishon. So because we put up all of our pots, we have to put up the pots before lighting Neir Shabbos, and we light Neir Shabbos at least 18 minutes before Shkia, so it'll turn out that every pot will reach the shear of Yatzalet, but before Shkia. So you can't really call it a Kedera Chaisa. That's his first Nekuda. Then he also says that our kiros are very different. Our ovens are very different than the way that they used to cook. Our ovens get very hot. Our stoves get very hot. So if you put a pot on top of the stove, it will cook. Even if you put a Kedera Chaisa Friday night, right before Shabbos, you put that on the stove, it will get fully cooked by the end of the meal. We're talking about three or 4 hours, let's say. It will get fully cooked by 4 hours. So he wanted to suggest that the whole heter of Kedera Chaisa doesn't apply because it's built on the assumption that the food is not going to be cooked tonight and it will be cooked by tomorrow, so there's no need to raise the flame. But maybe Bizman Azeh, our stoves are so different that it will be fully cooked 4 hours after Shabbos begins. So then there's the concern that maybe you'll raise the fire in order to make it fully cooked sooner. So it's not so clear. The post can discuss, does the heter Keder Chaisa apply Bizman Azeh or does it not apply Bizman Azeh? Shaila, Mori. The minimum Tosefes Shabbos is 2 minutes. You don't need more than that. Some poskim, some Rishonim say that you need more than 2 minutes, maybe half an hour, but that's the minimum. So even if you say Tosefes Shabbos is 2 minutes, but it's still 15 minutes, 15, 16 minutes before Shkia, maybe the argument can be made that there are some pots that will be obsolete as well before Shkia. Maybe most of the pots even. If you put it up, the liquid in the pot can be bubbling. Even if the item itself is not cooked, but the process of cooking has begun. So once the process of cooking has begun, maybe we shouldn't treat it like a Kedera Chaisa. What's the nafkamina for us? I mean, how many people are going to put up a cholent that's completely raw before Shabbos? But we have crock pots, and a crock pot is a slow cooker. It's a very common way of cooking nowadays. So a crock pot, at first glance, is mamash a Kedera Chaisa. That's l'chora, the situation of Kedera Chaisa. Should one be allowed to turn on a crock pot right before Shabbos, put the food in, put the cholent in, the meat and the potatoes and everything, it's completely raw, the beans, put it in before Shabbos. But in the case of the crock pot, since it's a slow cooker, there are some crock pots that are not going to be finished cooking. You know, the item that you put in is not going to be finished cooking for 5, 6 hours, 7 hours, eight hours, and then it steeps, but it's not going to be finished in 3, 4 hours. So some wanted to suggest that maybe the crock pot brings back the heter of Kedera Chaisa. That is the situation where Kedera Chaisa will find the heter even Bizman Hazeh. Others were not so sure. First of all, there are different types of crock pots. Some are non-adjustable, but most Bizman Hazeh, many, I think, are adjustable. There are different settings. There's a lower setting and a higher setting. So the problem is, even if you'll put the cholent on the lower setting of the crock pot, it might not be ready tonight, but there's always that chashash that maybe you will raise the temperature, maybe you'll raise it to the higher setting, because maybe you'll want it to be finished at the end of the meal. Maybe you'll want it to be finished 11:30 at night. I mean, why would you want cholent at 11:30 at night? Right? When I was young, no one could even thought of such a notion. But now, you know, no one thinks of going a Friday night without cholent, right? So maybe you'll raise the temperature in order to have a Friday night cholent after the meal. Certainly, when Shabbos starts at 5 o'clock, there's plenty of time. So someone to suggest, first of all, if you have an adjustable crock pot, there could be a problem because you might want to raise the temperature. The Rav wanted to suggest something else. I guess they had crock pots in his time also. He felt that maybe it should be machmer because Bizman Hazeh, since it is possible to cook something in the 3 or 4 hours, meaning to put something raw on the fire before Shabbos and to have it cook cooked by the end of the meal on Friday night, so maybe the whole heter of Kedera Chaisa falls away. In this particular circumstance, maybe you could engineer a heter, but the reality is it's quite normal to cook. In most circumstances, if you're not using a crock pot, it's quite normal to cook in such a way that that it can be finished. It can be, the item will be completely cooked within 3 or 4 hours. So maybe the whole heter of Kedera Chaisa should not apply, even though in the case of a crock pot, in that particular circumstance, the food is not going to be ready until tomorrow. So he wasn't sure that you should be megil for kedera chaisa b'chlal b'zman hazeh, because in most circumstances, in most pots, in most situations of cooking outside the realm of a crock pot, it's not going to be ready. It's not going to be ready only tomorrow and not tonight. So the whole heter of kedera chaisa shouldn't apply b'chlal. So what should you do to avoid shehiyah with a crock pot? So some suggest that you should put a piece of aluminum foil inside the crock pot, have it draped over the sides, so that it's separating between the heating element and the insert to the crock pot, and that's like a blech. Others point out that you should also cover the knobs, because the real makom for the chitoy is in the knobs. So you should cover the knobs too. That's the best thing to do. If you want to avoid the shehiyah problem, the best thing to do is really to put a piece of aluminum foil inside the crock pot and have it drape over and cover the knobs as well. Some claim that it might be okay just to cover the knobs. Maybe covering the knobs is sufficient, because putting the aluminum foil in, you don't really see that it's covering the fire, so it's not so clear that it's really serving as a blech. It's better to do both, but if you cover the knobs, that's lechora sufficient to solve the shehiyah problem. The problem with the crock pot is not so much shehiyah. We have ways of solving shehiyah problems. If you separate between the fire, between the heating element and the food, if you cover the knobs, we have ways of solving a shehiyah problem. The problem with the crock pot is that there's another gzeirah d'rabbanan that we haven't spoken about. Till now we talked about shehiyah, but there's another gzeirah d'rabbanan called hatmana. Hatmana means insulated. It is not allowed to insulate. And there are different parts to this gezeirah. There are two parts. There's hatmana be'erev Shabbos and hatmana be'Shabbos. Hatmana be'erev Shabbos, the Gemara says, one is not allowed to be matmin bedover hamosif hevel. You can't insulate a pot with something that's going to add heat to the pot. That's going to cause it to get warmer. What kind of a strange thing is that? That you're going to insulate the pot with something that's going to cause it to get warmer. So the Gemara has different... Mishnayos and the Gemara in Shabbos have different cases that talk about sand and salt and tar. We don't really insulate our pots with these items, but these are cases that the Gemara gives. But the truth is, there's another simpler case, and that is to insulate even with a blanket or with a towel. The blanket is not mosif hevel, but let's say you put that around the pot, and then you put the pot on a fire. So the fire is mosif hevel, and you're matmin in a way that's going to cause the fire to make the pot even hotter. If you just put the pot on the fire, then it'll make the pot hot to a certain extent. But if you insulate the outside of the pot, then with the heat source, it's going to make it even hotter. So that would be viewed as hatmana bedavar hamosif hevel as well. That's also before Shabbos. Hatmana bedavar hamamid hevel is the other type of hatmana. That means that I'm encircling, I'm insulating the pot with something that's only going to maintain the heat, like wrapping the pot in towels or a blanket. Towels or the blanket, if you don't have a heat source, that's not going to be mosif hevel. That's just mamid hevel. Be'erev Shabbos, one is not allowed to be matmin bedavar hamosif hevel, but one is allowed to be matmin bedavar hamamid hevel. If you want to wrap the pot, if you don't want to leave the fire on Shabbos, but you want to make sure that the soup stays warm, you can wrap the soup with a towel, perfectly mutter. As long as you do that Erev Shabbos, that's perfectly mutter. But to be matmin bedavar hamosif hevel, that is awesome. That is awesome. Rabbi Shechter likes to tell the story that some of these urn companies came out with a not sure what to call it, with what's called an urn jacket. It's an urn jacket that you sort of put some insulating material. It fits the urn. You just literally lower it on top of the urn, and it keeps the urn pretty warm. It keeps it warmer than it would be if you didn't have the urn jacket on top of it. And some of these companies that made the urn jacket, so they have it's embroidered on the urn jacket, Lichot Shabbos. The Shechter thought that they probably should have written Lichot Chilul Shabbos, because that urn jacket is Matmin Bedavar Hamosif Hevel, because the urn... is obviously the water is connected to a heat source. The urn itself is a heat source. And if you're going to be matmin from top and all around, the heat source is on the bottom, So that container of water in the urn is completely encircled, and there is a heat source. So that would be hatmana b'davar hamosaf evel. That is prohibited. Even doing that before Shabbos would be a problem. Not just to put the urn jacket on top of the urn on Shabbos, but to do that from before Shabbos is a problem. Hatmana b'davar hamosaf evel is also even before Shabbos. On Shabbos, only hatmana b'davar hamamid hevel is also. Erev Shabbos to be matmid b'davar hamamid hevel is no problem. But on Shabbos, there's a concern that if you'll come to be matmid b'davar hamamid hevel, you'll come to put to insulate your pot, you'll see, oh, the pot really has cooled down. What are you going to do? Oh, what might happen is you'll try to put the pot on top of coals and you'll stoke the coals to make sure that the pot becomes hotter before you insulate it. So that's going to be a problem. The problem of matmid b'davar hamosif hevel is that we're afraid that maybe you'll do hatmana in coals and you'll stoke the coals. And hatmana b'davar hamamid hevel, at least on Shabbos, is also because we're afraid that maybe you'll come to be matmin, and at that time that you're coming to insulate, you'll see that the pot has cooled down, and you'll try to heat up the pot a little bit more before you do the hatmana, and you'll come to havara and to bishul. So the problem that we have is the crock pot. A crock pot at first glance seems to be hatmana. Why? You have a heating element that is entirely surrounding the inside of the crock pot. Below it, all around on the sides, it's completely surrounding the inside of the crock pot. So even if you solve the shehiya problem, let's say you cover the knobs, we're not afraid shemiyachata b'gachal, that you'll raise the temperature. But it's the chatmana b'davar hamosif hevel, and chatmana b'davar hamosif hevel, insulating with something that's going to add heat, is usur. Even if you do it before Shabbos, how's the mutter to use a crock pot on Shabbos before? This is the shaila that the poskim address. So what's the answer? So the basic answer that's given is that what's with the top of the crock pot? We said that you're insulating the entire insert. That is true. Most of the insert, much of the insert is insulated, the bottom and the sides. You're insulating the whole thing with the heating element. But the top of the crock pot only has a cover on it, a plastic cover. There's nothing insulating the cover. Covering a pot is not hatmana. You got to cover the pot, and the cover of the pot as well. So that's the question. The question is, what's the din of hatmana b'miktas? Let's say you don't have hatmana b'kulo. Is there any heter? So that's a major discussion in the Rishonim. The Ramah in Siman Reish Nun Gimel at the end of Sif Aleph, he's maker like the Rabbeinu Tam, who says that only if you have hatmana bekulo is it going to be asr. But if it's, as he calls it, megula lamala mutter, if it's megula lamala, if it's uncovered on top, it's not hatmana, and that's going to be permissible. So the question is, what does megula lamala mean? This is the question that the post can discuss. Pimagodim and others, Pimagodim presents two different shittos. What does megula lamala mean? Is it enough that it's megula only on top? Or does it mean that if rubo is magula, right? Lamala, it's taka magula. You have enough that's magula, both on top and on the sides, that rova the pot is taka magula. It's not machusa, so then that's not hatmana. That's only hatmana b'miktas. To be matir, does it have to be hatmana b'miktas? It can't be hatmana b'rubo? Or should we say that if it's magula lamala, then that's sufficient? Moshe Feinstein, asking in a tshuva to Rabbi Eider, that if it's megula lamala, that's sufficient. As long as it's uncovered on top, then that breaks the hatmana, and that would say that would make it permissible. Shlomo Zalman Arbach, in the final tshuva that he gave before he was nifter, so he felt that you should be machmir. He felt that it has to be rubo megula. That if it's not rov megula, that's not called hatmana b'miktas, right? If rov is mechusa, rubo kakulo, that's like kulo mutman. And if it's kulo b'hatmana, then it's going to be a problem. So there are different approaches. Some ataka maker, and they say that the problem of hatmana doesn't apply to a crock pot bechlal, because on the top it's uncovered. Rav Moshe says that's not hatmana b'kulo, and that's okay. And others amachmer, they say that there is a problem. So is there a way to solve the problem? Is there any way to solve the problem? So some have this idea. Rabbi Yoshev is quoted as saying that if you raise up the pot, if you raise up the insert, so then it actually might be magula berubo. How so? Let's say you put aluminum foil balls at the bottom inside the crockpot itself. Right? If you take the insert out of the crockpot, you put aluminum, let's say you put four aluminum foil bowls on the bottom surface of the crockpot itself, and then you put the insert on top, what happens is you've now effectively separated the bottom of the insert from the crockpot, and you've raised the crockpot up so that a little bit of the sides are also revealed, and the top of the crockpot is also open. So it could be in such a circumstance you talk to have rubo magula between the top and the bottom and a little bit of the sides. Maybe rove of it is taka magula, and in such a circumstance maybe everyone would say that that's okay. That's not a hatmana. It's not a hatmana berubo. If it's not a hatmana berubo, then that would be a sufficient. That would be sufficient in order to be matir the crockpot, because there would be no hatmana as long as you cover the knob. But you still would have to cover the knob, and if you want to be machmir a little bit more to put the aluminum foil, you wouldn't have to put aluminum foil outside of the crockpot, because if you've separated the crockpot, you separated the insert from the bottom of the crockpot with these aluminum foil balls, it's nicker that the insert is not on the bottom of the surface of the crockpot. So if it's nicker that it's raised up above the crockpot, that's enough of a hekka to say that there's no shahir. So this might solve both problems. As long as you cover the knobs, I still think you should cover the knobs. If you cover the knobs and you put the aluminum foil balls on the bottom, so then you're raising up the crockpot, you're creating a hekka that should eliminate the problem of shahir. And the hatmana problem as well will be eliminated, because as long as ruba magula, if rovid is magula, that's not considered insulated, so there's no hatmana problem in such a circumstance.